And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program, as you know, every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or of course, on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. Join us on our Facebook page if you can, GRN South and Central TX. Hit that like button, follow, and you can keep up with everything that we're doing. Want to thank everyone tuning in from, of course, Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and right here in San Antonio. We are so grateful. I am grateful that you have decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. Now, as you know, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and of course, events that are going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, I'm so excited because we have one of our awesome priests in the house, and Father Rafael Becerra is here, and he's from Our Lady of Guadalupe in Helotes. We're going to talk about him being installing here soon as the new pastor. That's going to happen on July 19th, so we'll talk to him about that. He's going to lead us in prayer in just a moment. The second part of the show is we're going to have some Texas A&M Aggies in the house, because they're going to come in. Lisa Lozano, Veronica Artiaga, Mark Morris, and Ali Pando. They're going to come in. They're from the local San Antonio, Texas Aggies alumni chapter, and they're going to talk about the upcoming Maroon Mass. It's the Maroon Mass they have yearly, and it's going to be at the original Aggie Park there on 410, and it's going to be on July 11th. We're going to talk to them about it, their local chapter, and what they do and in support of Texas A&M, you know, Aggies, and all the alumni that are out there. It's going to be a great conversation. I am looking forward to that. But as you know, we always begin in prayer. And so, you know, before we begin, want to make sure, you know, we're praying for our archdiocese, our Archbishop Gustavo, Bishop Gary Yannick, Bishop Arturo Cepeda, retired Bishop Michael Boulette. And also want to pray for our priests, deacons, seminarians, nuns, our religious, our country, and, you know, prayers for your family as well. So bring those intentions forward, because, you know, we always start in prayer and it feels so good. So with that said, I'm going to invite Father Rafael Becerra to lead us in prayer, Father.
For sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, today we give you thanks for this amazing day, amazing morning. You allow us to wake up, to breathe, to see your marvelous deeds around the world. And today in the gospel, you said, don't judge and you won't be judged. We want to be intentional in don't judging people. Allow us always to recognize you in every single face, in every single person that we encounter. Allow us always to focus in the good things that every single person has to offer, to give, to do, instead of criticizing or judging them. Allow us always, always to follow with them and to recognize that you live in there, and that they, every single person, is a gift for humanity that you have given us. And allow us to enjoy this program. Allow us to be with Mary. Allow us to be together as family, and allow us to journey in this amazing Archdiocese of San Antonio. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. That was so beautiful. And, you know, I always get started with, you know, some of the things that that are going on that I did in the past weekend, and then what's coming up. There's a lot of stuff coming up, but I want to thank the San Antonio Family Association for inviting us at the Guadalupe Radio Network to be a part of their Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage. It was this past Saturday over at the cathedral, the San Fernando Cathedral, actually the main plaza right in front of the San Fernando Cathedral. It was on Saturday, and they drew a great number of people out there, all marching for, of course, the sanctity of life and marriage. And of course, being the month of June, which we're going to talk to Father about, you know, this is the month of the Sacred Heart. And so I can't wait to have that discussion with Father. But that's why we're out there. And I know the Archdiocese 2 weeks ago, they were downtown marching as well. So it's so nice to see, you know, us celebrating what needs to be celebrated, what is so important. And that's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's throughout the month of June. If you could do a novena. And if you do that, I guarantee you're going to feel really good. But we are still celebrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus throughout the month of June. It's June 22nd. And, you know, we're going to keep doing that. And, you know, we celebrate the Sacred Heart really all year. So can't wait to discuss that with, Father here. Now coming up, I'm going to be at St. Dominic Catholic Church this weekend, for the Vigil Mass, and the Mass is on Sunday. It's going to be great. Can't wait to go out there with Father Paniagua. It's going to be awesome. You know, Father Paniagua, right, Father?
Yes, I know. He's an amazing priest too.
Jaime Paniagua. I just spoke with him, met with him. He's awesome. So yeah, we're going to have a good time out there this weekend. And then July 18th, another Father Abel Ruiz.
Oh, yes. Over at St. Great priest.
Yes, St. Bonaventure. Yeah, we're going to be out. I'm going to be out there doing a live remote July the 18th. They have their St. Bonaventure Catholic Church Festival.
Wow.
It's going to be, last year was fantastic. I mean, we had a good time and I can't wait. I'm going to be doing a live remote out there and talking to all the parishioners, and it's going to be awesome. Great. I can't wait for that. And then on July 25th, and if you listen to GRN, especially, you know, here in South and Central Texas, we're running the Colby Prison Ministry Conference PSA, public service announcement, that we're announcing on July 25th. It's their 11th annual Colby Prison Ministry Conference. It's going to be at St. Paul Catholic Church Community Center. And for more information on that, you can go to Colby, K-O-L-B-Y, prisonministries.org. And you can basically see everything that's going to happen that day, which is going to be big because Bishop Gary's going to be there, Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Ortega. They're all going to be guest speakers that day. It's going to be a great, great conference that they're going to have over at the Colby Prison Ministry. And lastly, the Big Fullness of Truth San Antonio Conference is going to be held August 21st through the 23rd over at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort. It's beautiful out there. I'm going to be out there again doing live feeds. I'm going to have a table. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. July and August are really, really busy months, Father. And you're busy all the time. But during the summer, it seems like these conferences, there's a lot of conferences. It's going to be awesome. But if you want to go out to Fullness of Truth, go to fullnessoftruth.org and click on the register button for the August 21st to the 23rd conference. I guarantee you, you are going to enjoy yourself as I have the past 3 years. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And with that said, Father, I think we can begin our program. It's 12:08. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. We just started the Vacation Bible School for Kids, and they are doing amazing. We have a bunch of them, more than 100. And this morning I just visited with them, and we have different rooms. They are rotating for different activities. I had a moment to dance with them and also to play a little bit with them. Very, very simple, but they are having a great time. I celebrated Mass this morning too. Wow. It was an amazing Mass, and I had a couple of meetings. So the day is going well. It's going amazing.
You know, it's exciting. And when I read you are going to be installed as the pastor of Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes, Sean and I jumped for joy. We were like, that is so cool, because now you're going to be you're going to run that parish now. And it seems like you were just here during when you were in seminary.
Yes, I remember those days. Yes.
You came here, you sat there with
Father Otmar.
Otmar? Y'all were here. It was fantastic. You were telling us about your journey. And so I want to reflect back on that, because it hasn't been but, 3 years?
2 years.
Two years.
I just celebrated my second anniversary.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
May the 18th.
And so from you know, seminary to being ordained as a priest, you know, how has that journey been?
Well, that was amazing. It's one of the most fantastic things that have happened in my life. Yeah. I think that the ordination was the most beautiful day, the best day of my life. Included also, I had a 15th anniversary, wedding anniversary of my parents. That was an amazing day too.
Wow.
But the day of my ordination, it was amazing. I cannot explain how I felt. I just felt that all my life was pointed to that moment. And when I was laying down, I cannot explain that sensation of feeling the Holy Spirit coming down on me with the unity of the Archbishop, the auxiliary bishops, all the priests of the Archdiocese, and all of the community of saints, and all of the people of the Archdiocese rounded there. And you are laying down. It cannot be explained.
Yeah.
It is amazing, a sensation. It was like a movie passing through my mind.
It was flashing in front of your eyes.
Flashing all of those. And like everything in my life makes sense at this moment.
It all came to fruition.
Yeah.
Everything, your mind. I remember that day at St. Mark the Evangelist. And it was standing room only because it was packed. I think I was on the outside foyer. And
it was
standing room
only. Totally packed.
Yes, packed, and to see and to witness, to be there, it was beautiful.
Yes, imagine just from some friends of mine, they came from Mexico, from Tepatitlan, family and friends, more than 100. They flew to the ordination, and then many, many people. We were five priests ordained that day.
Odd
Martobar, Jordan, who is a Franciscan, Brother Franciscan, Capuchin Franciscan, and then Man Wen, and then Rafael Lopez Negroni, and then myself.
That's right.
So the church was packed and was amazing. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you in that ceremony, in that mass, is impressive.
Yeah.
Because you know, you lay down as a deacon, as a simple man, and you stand up as a priest.
Ooh, that is amazing.
It takes a village. It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's something that you cannot explain, how the whole universe packed in that moment with the Holy Spirit, because the sacrament of the priesthood, it imprints character in you. You will be a priest forever. From that moment, you will be a priest forever. It's like baptism. Baptism, you cannot say, I will be unbaptized. No,
right.
It imprints character in you. And the same is with priesthood. It imprints character in you, and you will be priest for eternity.
Wow.
And that is an amazing moment. And something that is interesting to say is that I think that my vocation is related with St. John Paul II.
Oh, yeah.
I felt the call when St. John Paul II, when I was 7 years old, John Paul II visited as a pope my diocese, San Juan de los Lagos. I had my first Holy Communion May the 3rd. John Paul II visited in May the 8th. Everything in Vitamin was about John Paul II, John Paul II, John Paul II. So I used to see him, watch him on TV or listening him on radio, and I used to think, I would like to become like that priest.
Ooh.
And I used to tell my parents, and they were just saying, no, he's a pope. I didn't understand really what was his role in the church. His personality was very impressed to me.
Right.
So, interestingly, Archbishop Gustavo chose the day for the ordination on May the 18th, which happens to be St. John Paul II's birthday.
You are so connected, yes.
And I asked Father Rafael and Father Odmar, Father Man, we asked Archbishop Gustavo, do you mind to use the chalice and the paten of St. John Paul II that we have in the treasure of the cathedral? And he accepted it. So we use the paten and the chalice of St. John Paul II for making the rite, because there is a moment in which Archbishop given to you and entrusted to you the care of the chalice and the paten, because you will consecrate in them. So they were St. John Paul II's chalice and paten. So it was amazing and impressive for us. And also that day, I asked Archbishop, do you mind if I can use them for my Thanksgiving Mass the next day in Selma, my home parish, OLPH? So he accepted it, and I celebrated my first Mass in my life with the chalice and the paten of St. John Paul II.
That
which is
truly
meaningful for me.
Incredible.
That's
Father, that is just, what an honor.
Yes.
What an honor.
Yes.
You know, and there may be some young men out there. You were age 7 when you felt the Lord calling you.
Yeah.
That's a young age. And, you know, our seminarians, I know our seminary, they're going to be on the program here pretty
Great.
Soon. But George Geiser Jr., a friend of mine's son, he's in seminary
now.
Yes,
George.
And so George Geiser Jr., he's in first year, I believe. But,
yes.
You know, to get that calling, there may be a young man out there right now listening. Maybe he's with his parents, or maybe he's with his mom. They're going to the store. They're going to Vacation Bible School. Who knows? But he's discerning. What would you say to that young man right now?
Just be open to whatever is your call. If your heart beats, maybe God is calling you. If your heart beats, maybe wow. God is calling you. I was very young, 7 years old. I felt attracted by this personality, impressive personality of St.
Right.
John Paul II. And then, because of life, I ran out. And I didn't want to listen.
You were running away from it.
I was running away
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
And I was to the point to get married that I didn't get married. I had my fiancé. And finally, I felt the call. And I connected at the age of 31 to my age of 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And at that moment, when I felt the call from God, I said, no, God, I don't want to become a priest. I don't want. I have my life is all done. I have everything set. I don't want to start again.
You started biting it.
I don't want to. I don't want to become a priest.
Yeah.
And I think that he said yes.
Wow.
He said yes. So at the end, I surrendered and said, I will do whatever you want me
yeah.
to do. And here I am. I never expected to become a priest. I never expected to be a priest in the United States,
wow.
speaking English.
Yeah.
In a community like I've been in Selma, my home parish, in my pastoral year. I never imagined that I would be serving in a parish as beautiful as that is. And
yeah.
then I never expected to become a priest, being parochial vicar at Holy Spirit, amazing community.
Right.
Then
yeah.
Archbishop asked me to be 2 months in 2 beautiful parishes in Kennedy, Our Lady of the Peace,
mm-hmm.
and Rangi, St.
That's
Anthony.
Right.
Those months were amazing. And then I never imagined to be the administrator of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Helotes. And now, as the bishop has appointed me as a pastor, cook. How can I imagine that? No.
It's the fast track. You're on the fast
yeah.
track, Father.
Yeah.
And I love it. So July 19th, that's going to be at 3:30 p.m. That's going to be your day where you're going to be installed.
Yes. It will be at the Mass at 3:30 p.m. Usually we have Mass there is for young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very vibrant Mass. And at this time, Archbishop Gustavo will celebrate the installation, which is meaningful. And for all of the parishioners of our parish, when you hear that you have a new pastor and you have the installation Mass, it is important for you to be at that Mass because
yeah.
that is a sign that you want to become, to be in unity with your pastor. And because when a bishop installs a pastor, he is delegating his responsibility of teaching and governing that specific parish to that particular pastor,
right.
to that particular priest. So is the priest doing the matters, the responsibilities of archbishop or bishop? Is he is doing it that particular
yeah.
The limitation in that particular parish. So we are united. If we go to the installation Mass, we are united with the pastor, and through the pastor with the archbishop, and through archbishop with the pope, and with the pope with the whole universal
right.
church. So it is a beautiful ceremony, and
right.
it is meaningful for us to all participate. At this time, it will be me, but if will be other priests, it is important for the ministry leaders, the pastoral council, the finance council, all of the deacons,
right.
all of the parochial vicars, and all of those who have any involvement or responsibility in the church, in any service,
right.
they should be present in that installation Mass. And I hope that in Our Lady of Guadalupe we have a good moment with Archbishop. Archbishop Gustavo has been very kind to the parish. He granted, for instance, very recently, another deacon, a deacon who is a parishioner,
right.
who made his studies while he was a parishioner, and he was sent last year when he was ordained to serve in three different parishes in the archdiocese, and he did it very diligently, and he did it very responsible, and he did it amazing. But we requested that I requested the Archbishop, hey, Archbishop, can you send us back this deacon?
Because can he serve here? Yeah,
because he can serve in the community that he belongs to. So Archbishop granted us that great gift, and now Deacon Harry is back to the parish, and we have had a great relationship with the community, with the deacons, and Archbishop has been amazing to us. Very generous.
OLG Helotes has just been a thriving parish for many, many, many years, right? And Helotes is growing in leaps and bounds. I mean, you've got a lot of new construction still. You've got a lot of growth out there. OLG Helotes, what is the future for OLG Helotes?
I envision a great future, a vibrant community. Mm-hmm. This time that I has been there, I have been there, has been amazing because it has a lot of young couples with kids. Yeah. Just this vacation Bible study, 100 kids. And then we have a great group of kids in life team, and then in confirmation classes, and then in the catechism. We have a huge building, 17 rooms, classrooms. All of them are packed.
Right.
So you have future and you have hope when you have young people in your communities. If your community is getting older, most probably your community will shrink.
Yeah.
But I think that it is not the case of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because as you said, the community is growing, more houses are built around, and we have young couples moving in, and that is a good sign for us. But beyond of that, the community is also a very well-shaped community, is a healthy community. The people that are very involved, they are very responsible, and they are courageous. They want to, they want to grow. They want to do their best. They are very generous. I have none other than good comments and a great impression about this amazing community. We have a solid pastoral council, a solid finance council. We have more than 70 ministries.
Wow.
And we just started like 3 weeks ago a young adult group. More than 50 young adult people, guys, are coming.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. Ladies and men, they feel welcome. They feel excited. And the young adult ministry is amazing. We started another ministry with the Guadalupanas.
Oh, the Guadalupanas. Okay, yeah.
As surprising as it may seem, Our Lady of Guadalupe didn't have a Guadalupanas ministry.
See, I was just going to ask you, why would Our Lady of Guadalupe not have Guadalupanas?
We don't know the reasons. And, and we are not judging. We're just saying, well, we need one.
Yeah.
And we started one, and this past Saturday, we just signed up the bylaws of the society. They have more than 50, almost 60 members, and just they started recently.
Wow.
And that speaks to me how the community is committed to be in service to the church. We have more than 150 extraordinary Eucharistic ministers. We have seven masses, two in Spanish, five in English. Most of them are full. And there are several masses that they are packed. They need to be standing. And we have all of this good sense of the people. People is happy. People is engaged. We have made some renovations in the parish already. We brought the image, the actual image, which is a copy of the original, certified copy of the original image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is amazing.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't in the altar. Now it's in the altar. Archbishop requests to have a painting of St. Anthony of Padua, the patron saint of the archdiocese.
Right.
And now is a beautiful image.
And you just put a crucifix up,
and
right?
And then the most amazing thing is that we didn't have a crucifix on the altar. And it is interesting that the sanctuary needs to have a crucifix that presides the sanctuary. So we just got a new one. It was carved in Guadalajara, Mexico. It is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's amazing. It's hand-carved. And the same company that is making the nativity for the Vatican this year, they built that crucifix for us.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
And they shipped it all the way over here.
They shipped it, yes. They shipped it from Guadalajara to here. One of my friends, Luis Barba, and his company, he did it for free, which is amazing.
The Lord will bless his company, I guarantee
you. Very generous guy, yes. Yeah, yeah. But now we have a crucifix, very beautiful. We call it the Lord of Hope.
The Lord
because
of Hope.
Many people has told me that they were hoping at some moment to have a crucifix for years.
For years.
And now they have it. So that's why we call it the Lord of Hope. And we hope that Archbishop Gustavo is the plan. Archbishop Gustavo will bless it on the day of the installation
on
July
19th.
19th.
Yeah. See, and that's what I mean. Your parish is thriving. It's thriving. As I go around San Antonio, even out in Kerrville, Notre Dame, and God bless Kerrville, they're still going through, you know, the floods and Camp Mystic and rebuilding homes and businesses. And we pray for them. We pray for them because, you know, Notre Dame is, it's a thriving parish as well. Kerrville's thriving. St. Mary's out in Fredericksburg, you know, our surrounding area, Sacred Heart and Uvalde. I mean, parishes are thriving. And even if you go a little bit outside San Antonio to, you know, St. Joseph Honey Creek, Father Chris out there is doing a fantastic job. And you see the parishes that have been thriving for many years, your Holy Spirits, your OLPHs, your St. Matthews, they're thriving and masses are packed. You're seeing people coming back to the church, Father. And I wanted to bring that up and have that discussion with you because since COVID, when we got shut down, we came back even more strong.
Yes, I think so. And that is a phenomenon that is happening in the church, specifically in our archdiocese. Most of the parishes, they are getting packed. People is coming back.
Yeah.
The numbers are amazing in deacons, permanent deacons, amazing in the new baptized people that are coming back, that are coming in the church, and people in the masses. That it is, I think that this the action of the Holy Spirit that are calling them back because people need to feel that they belong. And in the church, it is an open church, it is a welcoming church, and people belong. I always usually say in the Mass when I begin, welcome to the place where you belong.
Yeah.
You belong here. He is the God who has created you. So people need that feeling of belonging. And people need that feeling when they feel peace, at peace.
Sure.
And the Lord Jesus Christ has said that He is the peace. He is the peace. My peace I give you, my peace I leave you. The peace that I give you is different than the peace that the world gives you because He Himself is the peace. So anybody who feels distress and go to the church, right there, where the Blessed Sacrament is, where the Lord is, right there is peace. So people can find peace in the church. People can find belonging, and people also can make community because we are the community of saints. So I think that's why the people is coming back after a difficult time during COVID time. They are coming back to the church, and we are coming back stronger because we have this great need to belong again.
Yeah.
We have this great need to be in peace again. And the Catholic Church is the source of peace, the source of belonging.
Right.
Because we have there the Creator. We have there the one who died on the cross for us because He loves us.
Yeah.
So imagine a people who is distressed, who is lacking of hope, who is feeling that that the world is running too fast, that they're wrong. The world is very bad. Sometimes when they come to the church, they can look and find a Jesus Christ that says, I love you. I died on the cross for you. And I will do whatever is needed to rescue you. You belong to me and I belong to you. So people can find real hope, a hope that does not disappoint.
You know, for Sheraton, I had Father Will Combs, St. Mary Magdalene, on for the hour, the 2 o'clock hour. And, you know, one of the biggest prayer intention that we get is for my kids to come back to the church. Okay, they're older, maybe they're their teens, but Father Will Combs, you know, sat there and talked about it's so important that we lead by example.
Yeah.
And we show our kids, you know, your kids are going to basically follow what you do. And so with that very popular prayer intention, Father, how do you say we should get our kids back into, how do we bring them back into the fold?
is first by your example, yes, but don't forget that your kids are adults and many times they make their own decisions. Right. You cannot blame yourself all of the time. You can give the best example, and at sometimes the kids, when they become adults, because they are a culture, they are immersed in the world, and the world may invite them to a different type of things, and they may choose another right. things that are different than your what you wanted them to do. Which is important is always to love them, always to pray to the Holy Spirit, always give you testimony. But for me, it's very important always to show them the joy that you live right. in the church. Joy is attractive. And don't try to convince them or to apply them. Just show the joy, because we can choose to do different things that our parents chose us or sure. taught us. But in our mind, there will be always the sign that the right direction was that, even though I decide at this moment to don't choose it. Yeah. So if you stay anchored in your faith, in your values, in your prayer, in your witnesses, and in your love for them and showing them the joy, sooner or later, they will come back. Yeah. They will come back. Ask the Holy Spirit for his assistance and remember Saint Monica. She prayed for 30 years for her son. She was persevering 30 years for her son. Wow. And her son became one of the greatest saints in the history of the church. If she did that, what can happen with your kids?
Yes.
Your kid can be another Saint Augustine, another great saint. Why not?
You never know. And, you know, my son went to Chicago for college. He graduated. But his sophomore year, Father, he was a sophomore year two. And we're on the phone with him. He says, I'm having a hard time dealing with XX and whatever, this, that. Just having a hard time. And he said, maybe I need to go talk to somebody like a professional, you know, like a psychologist, mm-hmm. somebody who can, you know, help him out. And I'm listening. Me and my wife are listening. I said, Stevie, I know somebody you could go to that could fix everything. Everything and anything you're going through, he could fix it. And I know him pretty well. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, who is that? Dad, can I make an appointment? I said, yeah, all you got to do is walk to the church there at Loyola, get on your knees, and talk to the man. Talk to God. Do you even know him? If you don't, I'd suggest you start to get to know him and establish a relationship with him, because he's the only one that can fix anything, any of your problems. He did that.
And the most amazing thing that you could say to him is, it's not that you know him, it's that he knows you. And yes. he has the answers that you need.
But you don't ask, Father, you tell. When it's your kids, and I felt like, oh man, I need to just let him know. Until you get on your knees and you ask God for help, yeah. you know? I mean, you're yes. going to be out there with the lost sheep, you know?
That is what I am saying. There is a moment when they, even though they chose another options, though, with the ones that you taught them, there is a moment when they recognize, yeah. I am astray. I didn't, but I know what is the truth. And the parents will be there to remind them if right. they continue anchor in their faith, in their witness, the witnesses that they are giving to them and pray to the Lord, there will be the moment when they will right. come back.
And we have to pray for our kids every day.
Yes.
Every mm-hmm. single day we pray for our kids. And we have to, because that's the only way that they're going to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow and worship God who deserves the worshiping, you know. Establish that relationship. So,
yes,
you know, we're very excited he graduated, and yeah, you know, but like we have to teach our kids. We have to tell them.
Yes, I always think that the main responsibility and the mission of every single parent is to help their kids to go to heaven.
Yes.
Am I doing well or wrong? You can measure it. How are you doing? Yep. Your mission is to help your kids to go to heaven.
That's right.
And that is the measure to do. And accepting your responsibility with honesty, and them, if they are adults, they have a responsibility right. too, because they make their own decisions. Don't take the part that does not belong to you. But you are that bridge with them, and the Lord has entrusted you, your kids, to help them to go to heaven. And you put all of them in your witness, with your faults, with your fragility.
Yeah.
with those fragility and those weaknesses that you have, the Lord still entrusted your kids to help them to go to heaven.
And you know what I love? I mean, you're at Our Lady of Guadalupe and Helotes, is your imprint on social media. Okay, I see you everywhere. I see you doing things on Facebook. I see you on, Instagram? You're on Insta as well, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that and I'm looking at it right now. I think it's so important that our parishes get very involved with social media. Because here at Guadalupe Radio, we're trying to get more involved with social media because that's how we connect with that next generation.
Yeah. Yes, we know we cannot be disconnected. Fisher of Men means Fisher of Men of that era, of that time. We need to be engaged with the people where they are. We are not invading, making up social media, but we need to be in that wave. We need to go in the wave to be evangelizing there. If the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in parables because that were used at this time and they understood. Right. Now in these times is social media. Young people is there. Young people is on the screens all of the times, their phone or any devices, and we need to be there promoting and giving good content for them. Because if there is not good content,
right,
there will be other content. So, and we need to be creative and we need to be engaged for helping them to get engaged with faith and with a good content for them.
And I love seeing, you know, teens coming back from retreats and how on fire they are. And you pray for the future, you pray for our kids, but to see that in our parishes, I think is joyful, you know, and that's how our parishes are going to grow. And so we are seeing a bigger influx of younger teens, you know, starting to, you know, maybe consider seminary, maybe considering being a nun, a sister. And I think it's beautiful to see, but they're influenced by what they see on social media. And so I think it's so important that we stay on that route because it's...
Yes, and you need to ask them and you need to suggest them and you need to follow up if some of them has any time, say, I'm considering, I'm open. You need to ask them and to follow up because vocations are there. The Lord Jesus Christ is still calling. You cannot think that the Lord has stopped calling men and women. So vocations are there. We just need to go and get them.
Yeah.
If not, vocations most probably won't come to you. You need to go in them and fish. The fish won't come to your door by itself.
You got to be a fisher of men. Yeah. Fishers of men. Well, Father, I am so glad. I know we got a couple of minutes, but I want to invite everybody to come out July 19th to Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. And I think it's going to be a beautiful mass. It starts at 3:30. Archbishop Gustavo is going to be there.
Yeah.
And probably many of your brothers from seminary.
Hopefully, yes. Depends. It's a Saturday, which make it a little more difficult because everybody is in different activities and busy, but we hope to have a good turnout on them. For sure, I am inviting them.
And I'm on your page, olghelotus.org. I'm in there right now. You've got a lot of stuff coming up. You got a big festival in October.
Yes, hopefully you can join us. October 17, we have the OLG Festival. This time we are raffling a truck. It will be a Tacoma, Toyota Tacoma. Hopefully you can buy a ticket and enjoying the festival 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. It has been great. They have told me past years have been great. And this year we have the involvement of all of the community. We built a great committee and it looks like it will be an amazing festival. So you can come and join us October 17.
Yeah, and we're going to have a PSA for you, a public service announcement, because we want to make sure, and I should go out there and do a live remote.
Come, please.
I will be there October 17th. That's your big festival. And, you know, you got other things coming up, but that parish, OLG Helotes, is just doing fantastic. And we pray for you for big success.
Yes, please pray for me. I want to be a holy priest, a wise priest, a healthy priest, and a humble priest.
And that you will be, Father, I guarantee you. Father Rafael Becerra, again, Sunday, July 19th at 3:30 p.m. We need to pack that house.
Please.
The Lord will bring them. Father, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
And thank you, Father, for coming on. We always enjoy having priests coming on my program in his vineyard. Sit tight. We're going to be back with some Texas A&M Aggies, okay? We'll be back in a sec.
San Antonio A&M Club is honored to welcome St. Mary's Catholic Church for the Maroon Mass. All Aggie Catholics are invited, including incoming, current, and former students, to celebrate with Father Will Stratton, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2000, Sunday, July 12th at 11 a.m. at the original Aggie Park, located at 6205 West Avenue. If you would like to volunteer for this event, call 210-325-0885.
This is Kathleen Tong with Colby Prison Ministries. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for the 2026 Colby Prison Ministries Annual Conference on Saturday, July 25th at St. Paul Community Center in San Antonio. Come hear inspiring presentations from Bishop Gary Yonick, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Father Alejandro Trillo. You also experience powerful testimony from prison ministry volunteers and formerly incarcerated men whose lives have been transformed through faith, hope, and the love of Christ. Whether you're interested in serving inside a correctional facility or supporting the mission from the outside, there is a place for you in this ministry. Visit ColbyPrisonMinistries.org to register today. That's K-O-L-B-E. PrisonMinistries.org to register.
I'm John Hale with Corporate Travel, a proud partner with the Guadalupe Radio Network and our mission to save souls. The Good News Conference, hosted annually by Corporate Travel, will be held on September 4th through the 6th in Nashville, Tennessee. This year, we're featuring Bishop Robert Barron, founder of Word on Fire, Father Mike Schmitz, host of Bible in a Year, Sister Miriam James Heidland of the Salt Order, and actor Mark Wahlberg. You can visit our website at goodnewsconference.com or grnonline.com.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager of the South and Central Texas listening area. I want to thank Father Rafael Becerra. He was incredible. Want to thank him for taking time out to come on the program to talk a little bit about, you know, his installation as pastor, which is going to be coming up here July 19th, Sunday, July 19th at 3:30 p.m. Want to remind everybody, we'll hopefully have a PSA reminding everybody about that, but that's a big deal. Archbishop Gustavo is going to be there. And I guarantee you, it's going to be a great time. So thank you, Father Rafael Becerra. Pray for Father Rafael and pray for his success over at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Hello to us. So now we've got our second segment coming up. And I've got in the studio Lisa Lozano, Veronica Artiaga, Mark Morse, who, of course, we know. Your mom.
I'm a recurring guest at this point.
You are, Mark.
Great to be back.
And Allie. Who's there? All of y'all are, I don't want to say, y'all former Aggies, right?
Yes.
Texas A&M? Yeah. So we're talking to some Aggies in here from San Antonio, the San Antonio chapter, and you've got a big deal coming up, and it's called the Maroon Mass.
That's correct.
And so, you know, I want to make sure I ask the right questions because I got four of y'all in here. So let's start with Lisa. Can you tell me a little bit about the Maroon Mass? What's it about? And, you know, how did it start?
Thank you, Gordy, for inviting us to be a part of your show today. Yes, it's a real honor to extend an invitation to San Antonio residents to attend Maroon Mass. We invite current and incoming freshmen, former students, and their Aggie families and friends. This special event will be celebrated by Father Will Stratton. He is the priest at Texas A&M in class of 2000. He will be coming to make a visit on Sunday, July the 12th, and here at Aggie Park on West Avenue, we'll celebrate Mass at 11 o'clock. Doors will open just about an hour before that. Father Will give all new students a special blessing following the Mass, and we'll have some door prizes and fellowship. There's no need to register, Gordy. Just come and celebrate the Mass with us.
That is awesome. The Maroon Mass, especially if you're a former Aggie, I mean, and you're in San Antonio, you want to be at the Maroon Mass. That's a big deal. So what is, Veronica, if I could ask you, what is the purpose of the event, and is it an indoor or outdoor celebration?
Well, for those who haven't experienced the Maroon Mass, it is an indoor celebration. So when you hear park, you may think outdoor.
Yeah, you think outdoor
event, right?
Right, right.
But no, we want to clarify that you can wear your Sunday best and, of course, a splash of maroon. You know, it's very apropos as we are Aggies. And, of course, we'll be celebrating inside the Aggie Park building. And the Maroon Mass serves two purposes: to worship God as an Aggie community and to introduce new Aggies to St. Mary's Catholic Church there at College Station. So when the A&M students are stressed from school, they have sort of a home away from home. And so they've got a place to feel at peace, and we're just bridging that opportunity for those new incoming freshmen.
St. Mary's in College Station is just an incredible, incredible church, parish. I mean, it's growing, it's thriving, it's busting at the seams. And what I've been told, and I think we talked about this on the phone, St. Mary's produces more priests, deacons, seminarians than any other university in the United States.
Yes, you're so right.
That's correct, right?
You are so right, Gordy. The culture at Texas A&M is conducive for having a relationship with God, and students are not afraid to ask God of what His will is for their lives. So I'm so glad that you mentioned how strong the community. Students grow greatly in faith when they're on campus. Right now, Texas A&M has 78,000 students, and when the last available records were identified, 24% to 25% of that population identified as Catholics. And if that data is extrapolated, Texas A&M has more Catholic students than any other college, including Notre Dame.
Wow. That is incredible.
Something to be proud of.
So, yeah, that's something absolutely to be proud of. And so as we talk about the vocations, I just want to highlight that over the last 10 years, on average, annually, 10 to 13 men and women have entered seminary or religious life. Over 130 Aggies have been ordained as priests. Three Aggies have been ordained as bishops. And they make themselves available. I'm talking about the staff and the sisters from the Apostle of Interior Life, they and Campus Ministries, they make themselves available for monthly discernment meetings with the students. And so that's really fabulous. Like you mentioned, the community is very rich for discernment.
That is incredible. Now, Mark, how do you become involved with all this?
Yeah, so I've actually been going to the Maroon Mass since I was in high school. So it's been 5 or 6 years of going to this Mass. Yeah, just here to talk a little bit about my experience at St. Mary's and what that was like. And now I'm working as a focus missionary, and I owe a lot of that to St. Mary's. But there's just so many different ways to get involved there, which I think is what makes it really work.
Yeah.
There's freshman outreach opportunities like John 15. There's charismatic retreats like Aggie Awakening. There's plenty of ways to get involved liturgically. We have a retreat at the beginning of the year for the freshmen called the Connect Retreat. Monthly, there is an adoration night with a talk, usually by a prominent Catholic speaker called Magnify. So they'll come up, they'll give a short spiel, and then there'll be adoration for an hour, which is just really wonderful. And just you don't really get that everywhere, you know? And so
not every college does that.
Ultimately, like, however you're looking to get involved, and for me, like, I was in the Corps, and there was a lot of different outreach with the Corps. And, you know, then I got involved with Focus and Bible studies happening on the quad. There was a Mass where all the cadets live for the Solemnity of the Assumption every year. And so however you're looking to get involved, there's something there that's being offered to you if you step into it.
That's where you came on with Focus, your mom, Teresa.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
That was an incredible show. I loved it.
Yeah. It was great. And still doing Focus.
Still doing it.
Yeah. And so, I know the team at Texas A&M that Focus has there, and they're wonderful. And they're reaching a lot of the Greek students and Greek life, students who are going to be athletes there. And then those that are in the Corps of Cadets. So they're really specializing in working with those students, but also there's a lot of involvement from other students as well.
I want to get Allie in here because you're the baby of the group here, right?
<She is. laughs>
And so I know, Allie, you know, you transitioned from a small school to a large university, right? Mm-hmm. And so how did St. Mary's, the church in College Station, how did that play a role in your transition?
Yeah, so I just finished up my freshman year this year. So I went through the whole transition. Now I feel pretty acclimatized and like I know more than I did before. But honestly, at the beginning, it was really intimidating. My high school, I knew every single person there. I could walk through the hallway and know everybody's name, everything about them. But then I got to A&M and I was like, wow, like there are so many people here. And it's what people...
It's humongous.
It's
there.
Huge, yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people say that, but once you get there, it's like, wow. But then I went to Maroon Mass the summer before I got to A&M, and I kind of remembered that community, and it kind of shrunk things down and made it feel a lot more like you know these people. And so I remembered St. Mary's, and I found community in that. I found friends that were also Catholic. We went to St. Mary's together. We continue to go to St. Mary's together. I feel like that was one of the things, even though I didn't join an organization that was specifically for St. Mary's or Catholic, I found those people and my people through other organizations, and we were able to make St. Mary's our home too. And that was really beautiful, and it really helped me to transition, and I love A&M. And
what advice would you give an incoming freshman? Because they may be nervous about, you know, going to A&M. What advice would you give them?
I would honestly say to jump right in. I would say you find your people. I said it's scary at first. I went before I found my people. I went to St. Mary's alone for the first time, and that was honestly a little bit scary. It's there's people everywhere, and it's like it's a great feeling, and it's a beautiful mass. But I felt a little bit alone. I was a little scared. But the people, like you look around, and I was like, wow. Like as I went through the mass, I was like, wow, these people are just like me. Like so, I went in scared, and then I came out, and I was like, I felt at peace, and I felt really great. And then as I continued, and I found those friends I was talking about that were also Catholics, and we just all jumped right in, and we were able to do it together. And I think that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to be working alone. He wants us. That's why we have community. And
absolutely. That's a good answer. And Lisa, I want to ask you, as a parent of three A&M graduates, what are you most proud of? Three. That's pretty big.
Thank you, Gordy. Well, I think my largest fear when our kids, when the first child went off to college, was we cultivated a Catholic family and faith, you know, in our home. Yeah. And my biggest concern was out in the big world, are they going to turn into chameleons and undo or reverse what is important and what our family values are? But I can truly say I was blown away by what St. Mary's offers and my children's commitment to get involved there and take advantage, and they have access to so many different services. I'm really impressed of how all three of my children are living their faith with real zeal.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of access to the sacraments, whether it was daily mass or frequent confession or Sunday mass or Bible studies. Right. They really were immersed in St. Mary's. And I'm happy that they also have the foundation professionally, you know, got a degree from Texas A&M, but really I'm more proud of who they became and their commitment to their faith and their ownership of their faith.
That is beautiful because as I was talking with Father Becerra, the number one prayer request we get during Share-a-thon when we take prayer intentions is for my kids to come back to the faith. And see, it sounds like you rooted them in their faith very early and they stayed the course. That is beautiful. And, you know, College Station with St. Mary's Catholic Church there, I mean, I'm sure as they meet other Catholics at Texas A&M, it feels more comfortable. It feels right.
I want to just validate what you're saying because the college environment has other priorities. And so when you get together and like Allie was saying, she found her people. But when you surround yourself with like-minded Catholics that are trying to live their faith, we're not perfect. We're all work in progress. But to reinforce, you know, your Catholicism, I think That's what St. Mary's offers.
I love it. Veronica, we have a few minutes, so we want to get some information now. What are final thoughts on, you know, the Maroon Mass and Aggie Park, all that?
Yes. Thank you, Gordy. Yes, we are the Fighting Texas Aggies, and we're known for our tradition, right?
Uh-huh.
The yell practices, the the ring, the Corps of Cadets, the 12th man, the list goes on. But, we want to include that sense of service and community that A&M is also known for. And, you know, as Catholics, you know, God is paramount. We put him first. And when you add that fellowship of the Aggies combined, I mean, that makes the Maroon Mass so special and somewhat of a hidden treasure here in San Antonio.
Right.
So if any listeners are out there and are interested in serving in any capacity, please call 210-325-0885. So we have volunteers are needed as readers, greeters, presenters of gifts, and members of the choir. So please, if you would like to help with the Maroon Mass 2026, please call 210-325-0885.
Lisa, you got some parting words too, right?
Yes. Thank you, Gordy. Thank you for this time on the radio. Ultimately, the purpose of this session today with you is to inform local Catholics about Maroon Mass. And Maroon Mass is to plant the seed for students to continue their faith in college, receive the sacraments, and to grow deeper in their relationship with Christ.
We are
building the bridge for the students that are leaving San Antonio and making their new home in College Station. That's the whole intent of this partnership and to offer Maroon Mass.
I love it. Thank you so much for y'all coming in. Veronica, Lisa, Mark, and Allie, we appreciate you guys. For now, we'll catch you next week. We love you guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Hi, this is Matthew Leonard. You're listening to KJMA 89.7. In San Antonio, visit us online at grnonline.com.
The Guadalupe Radio Network would like to thank Gerard Morales, owner of Texas Veteran Security. Texas Veteran Security is veteran-owned and operated. Texas Veteran Security offers armed and unarmed guards, alarm and camera installation and monitoring, and other security services. More information can be found on TexasVeteranSecurity.com. Their number is 210-807-7814. Thank you, Gerard Morales, for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network.
I grew up in Catholic school. I went to church every Sunday, but I still find myself with so many questions about the faith. If this sounds like you too, join me, Bailey Garland, on The Quest, a pilgrimage of faith, and let's journey together navigating different topics that we encounter as Catholics with trusted priests to guide us along the way. I invite you to call into our show with your questions and we can learn together. You can listen to The Quest live on the radio or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app weekdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, I'm Nick De La Torre, host of Morning Joy, where truth matters. You were made for more than drudgery. What if your days were spent not with meaningless work, but with striving for glorious fulfillment? That's one of the things we'll cover on the next episode of Morning Joy. Debbie and Cy will ask the question, what's stopping the 4-day work week? Listen to Morning Joy starting at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern, and subscribe to the Morning Joy podcast so you can listen anytime. Maybe encourage your boss to do so too.
The month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most holy heart of Jesus, fountain of every blessing, I adore you, I love you, and with a lively sorrow for my sins, I offer you this poor heart of mine. Make me humble, patient, pure, and wholly obedient to your will. Grant, good Jesus, that I may live in you and for you. Protect me in the midst of danger. Comfort me in my afflictions. Give me a health of body, assistance in my temporal needs. Your blessings on all that I do and the grace of a holy death. Within your heart I place my every care. In every need, let me come to you with humble trust, saying, Heart of Jesus, help me. Amen.
Back to Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul. Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.